American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller, on this Tuesday, 12th of February, I do believe it's 2013. I can't get used to saying that word. On the program today, from Miles Franklin, I've got Ranty Andy Hoffman. Hello, Andy.
Hey, John, how are you?
Fair to middling, mostly good under partially sunny skies here in Texas, and spring's already here. Paul Drockton, you with us?
I am. Good afternoon.
Hi, how you doing? I was just reading up on you, Andy, going back your 10 years of heaven and hell.
Soon to be 11.
Soon to be 11. I wasn't aware that you're a family man now and you're out there in the, I guess, the foothills of the Rockies out in Colorado.
Yeah, I moved. I'm a lifelong New Yorker. I moved out here 6 years ago to Denver, and I'm never leaving.
I wouldn't imagine you would. After being in, you know, I got to say something. I've been to New York City about a half a dozen times, and every time I'm there, I just want to leave. you know, it's just too damn crowded, and every time I go there, what keeps going through my mind are the experiments with the rats, overpopulated, small area, watch what happens. And I love the way New Yorkers handle this stuff. You can walk down the city streets of New York and people won't even look at you. You're not there. You're like a mailbox or a telephone pole. You're just something to be, you know, and I'm sure that's self-preservation. Because
yeah, you build a tough exterior to deal with it and you live your life. But the sad thing is that most people in such busy places don't realize that in other parts of the country you can have a much better lifestyle.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
Isn't Colorado a suburb of Utah?
Yeah. Yeah, basically, all we do is ski out here, nothing else.
Now, I once heard that Utah tried to sell itself to Colorado 10 cents in a dollar, never no buyers. They said, we don't need you guys. We got everything. We got ski resorts. We got mountains. We got the Colorado River. What do we need with Utah? Yeah, we don't need you. Oh, no thanks. Thanks. But
we should have taken Utah. Utah is a far richer state than Colorado these days.
Well, I would imagine, yeah, when people have money, disposable income, they like to go skiing and they like to spend money through the tourism trade. But, you know, that's a luxury anymore that people are not affording themselves because, quite frankly, they can't. Well, it depends on your strata. If you're the lucky top percent of the country, yeah, you can still do those sorts of things. But after you empty your pockets, the working middle class out there of escalating gas prices, inflation in the foods, which is going to go up continually, I'm starting to see guys' projections right in 2013 for hyperinflation, thanks to our Fed buddies. So we'll get into all of this information, G7, G20, and associated, I don't know what to call these people. They've gone well beyond the country club set. Let's just call them planetary rulers. We'll be right back.
Right now, food is everywhere. If you want it, you can buy it. For now. When the coming crisis occurs, How will you feed your family? Will healthy nutrition be available? The answer is probably no. Jeff Lawton will show you how to survive the coming crisis in an abundant way with permaculture. Jeff Lawton is a permaculture designer, teacher, and consultant who has shown people like you, people in 35 countries around the world, people who want to know what they can do to survive the crisis that they see approaching. There is an absolutely free video online that will help you discover how to survive by giving you step-by-step instructions in establishing food forests that will help you become survival confident. Log on to jefflawton.org right now. This free video will only be available for a limited time. That's jefflawton.org. jefflawton.org. Survival is not optional. Visit jefflawton.org today.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates, but I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right. Yeah, I just like filling in a little background when we have new guests on the National Intel Report. And Tuesdays has always been kind of designated of what the heck's going on in the economic world. Here, 10 years of heaven or hell in May of 2002. My first Shadow World mentor was Richard Russell, shrewd, hard-edged New Yorker, moved to San Diego decades ago, and I guess he didn't move back neither. It was he, and shortly thereafter, Jim Sinclair, that taught me the ABCs of currency debasement. I bought in 100% and have not altered my fully invested PM position since then, except, of course, swapping my 100% mining shares position for 100% physical bullion. As it turned out, he was dead on, and thankfully I have not only protected my assets, but utilized such knowledge to create a new career for himself. Of all the things I've learned, perhaps the two most important things that he has learned and the concepts there emanated from Richard Russell. And what it feels like a lifetime ago, I mean, back then I was an energy analyst living in Park Slope, Brooklyn, while today I'm married, living in Colorado, as we discussed, and marketing precious metals. Around that time, Russell coined the term inflate or die, which translates to 2013, equates to quantitative easing to infinity. In other words, the understanding governments must continue to print money as the fiat currency regimes, by definition, are Ponzi schemes, has been overarching theme of my investment outlook today more than ever. And secondly, he coined the term primary trend to describe the indomitable market forces that cannot be stopped until they fully express themselves. In this case, he was referring to the upcoming dollar collapse and PM explosion, no matter how hard the government or its henchmen and the central bankers attempted to prevent it. Very, very, very interesting. Andy, yeah, they've decided that Tim Geithner, he's ducking out of town, and his problem was, well, you guys have all these caps. You know, we need to remove the caps. We need to keep borrowing the money. We can spend ourselves into prosperity. And as I look around, growth rate, which has been adjusted several times, is about, for the fourth quarter of last year, about 0.01, maybe 0.02 if you put your rose-colored glasses on. We're not living in an economy that's improving, and, well, Mr. Obama's going to come up on television tonight to give us the state of chaos, the union, and explain to us how things are so much better.
Yeah, they'll continue to use that word recovery that we've been hearing literally for 12 years now, and certainly for the past 5 years, but none of the actual, most of the government data doesn't even say that, let alone what we're actually seeing in the world. And as you said, he's going up there to say recovery when we just reported negative growth in the fourth quarter. And of course, if you look at the GDP deflator they use for the fourth quarter of just 6.6% inflation, when they've been using 2% all the other quarters, shows you what the real number is, should be dramatically lower than 0.1% negative. And then you're talking about Tim Geithner, who smartly is getting out of town. It's funny because, you know, before Bush and Obama, cabinet members stayed on forever. Now you get 3, 4, 5 different cabinet members for each position in each administration. But anyway, he's leaving, and he wants what I call debt ceiling to infinity. We've already just delayed the debt ceiling, which is until May 19th, and we're way over it now. And so I believe at some point they're going to have to get rid of the debt ceiling, because they just don't feel like arguing about it anymore. And when you do, you're going to see the exponential increase in debt that we're on the cusp of right now.
Well, they just removed the debt ceiling thanks to Bonnier and the Democratic Senate. And basically it's sitting on Obama's desk waiting to be signed. The other issue, of course, is if you take a look at the most recent report, which is the Small Business Optimism Index that just came out today, there has been zero recovery as far as small businesses are concerned. I mean, we go back to December, and the optimism index was at 88, and now it's 88.9. And, you know, when you do these kinds of indexes, there's a margin of error of at least 2 or 3 points. So there hasn't been any change as far as small businesses are concerned. So where is the recovery?
Well,
and they didn't actually get rid of the debt ceiling. What they did is they delayed it until May 19th. So on May 19th, and I believe that has just been signed, on May 19th, we're going to have to deal with it again. And, you know, at some point, you can't keep delaying it. Either you have to say we're getting rid of it permanently, which is basically my hyperinflationary, you know, trend marker, or they're going to have to do, you know, cut spending, which they won't do. So, you know, you're going to see a major, major inflection point in the outlook for this country and interest rates and gold and the dollar come May 19th.
Well, when you look at what they had to do, if you remember, the debt ceiling would have basically stopped the government from paying its bills, so they had to remove it. And when I say remove it, I'm saying they can spend literally as much as they want right now.
Until May 19th, yep.
There is no debt ceiling right now, so they're free to borrow as much as they want. Now, the other thing that I thought was pretty interesting, you know, Andy, is if you look at the S&P 500, and I talked about this yesterday on my show. If you look at the S&P 500, the S&P 500 took a hit on the 28th of December. It fell like 50, 60 points right before they passed the biggest tax increase in decades, which was on the 1st of January. And right after that, the market rallies. So when we talk about manipulation, I mean, let's talk about the S&P 500 for a second. I mean, here you've got they have passed major tax increases, which should be scaring the crud out of investors, scaring the crud out of businesses that are listed on the exchanges, and the market rallies.
Now surging energy prices, negative GDP growth, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And then on top of that, we go to the next crisis, which was, well, we need to eliminate the debt ceiling temporarily, as you pointed out. And all of a sudden, the market dips again right before that. Congress steps in, and the market rallies again. So now we've got a government that not only just raised taxes on 75% of the citizens in this country, but they can spend as much as they want right now, and we've got another crisis coming up. And that crisis, of course, is what they're calling sequestration, I guess, which simply means they're going to have to enact 7% across-the-board cuts in government spending and 14%, I think it is, in the military. Those are automatic spending cuts that are supposed to take place. We see North Korea all of a sudden starting to wave the bloody shirt with a, who knows whether it was a nuke test or just a bunch of TNT. And now all of a sudden, they're going to come out and say, well, we can't cut spending because we're facing threats around the globe. And I guarantee you, before that decision is made, you're going to see another correction in the stock market. It's going to come down 10, 15, 20%. And as if to tell the middle class, the only way you're going to save your retirement is if you let Congress continue to spend money without cutting the budget. And then, obviously, Congress responds. They don't pass any cuts whatsoever to spending, and the S&P will rally once again. This is just insanity.
Yeah, and actually, I did a piece about a year ago. Everyone should Google this, called Dow Jones Propaganda Average, and I reference it every day. There's a trading pattern called what I call a dead ringer, whereas it bottoms around 10, 10, 15 every morning and then gradually rises the rest of the day on no volatility at all. And we've seen probably, I'd say, more than 50% of all trading days over the past year. But this year, meaning 2013, I would say it's been 90% of all trading days. So if anyone doesn't believe that the Dow is propped up by the government, all you have to do is read that article and then just go every day on Yahoo Finance and take a look at what the Dow looks like, because it's always the same. And just to add to that sequester, it's possible that we'll have the same kind of thing, as you say, Paul, where they let the market fall to scare people. But this time around, I think Obama's so scared, he not only happily signed that debt ceiling extension, he's right now calling for Congress to, quote, get together and find ways to not have the sequester. So, I mean, he's talking as a hyperinflationist. And I don't even want to know what happens with the sequester, but I'm guessing that there's going to be no spending cuts. And more importantly, what happens May 19th if they actually decide to permanently get rid of the debt ceiling, which very well may happen.
Well, Andy, this past Sunday, Chris Wallace interviewed Nancy Pelosi about the proposed budget cuts and the coming sequester that will slash about $85 billion from the government's budget. Ironically, that's about how much they're pumping into the economy every month, save for the fact that they pumped out, I think, $270-plus billion to foreign banks to, well, just help them out a little bit. But that this sequester that will slash about $85 billion from the government's budget to most non-governmental officials or... That $85 billion seems like a lot of money, but to a government that spends that much in a little over a week, per day, it's nothing. Senator Rand Paul referred to the sequestration, or castration if you prefer, as a pittance. And the Democrat and Republican representatives are talking about this sequestration thing as if it's fiscal cliff, too.
If you remember, by the way, when they had the fiscal cliff only a month or two ago, the sequestration cuts were more like $150 billion. So somehow in that fiscal cliff deal where they didn't really tell you, they actually whittled it down in half. So now it's only $85 billion. And that's why I think they're going to have no problem whittling it down further come March 1st.
What they're doing, of course, is they're using projected revenues off of the tax increases, and they're failing to take into account the Laffer curve, which points out, and Reagan – this is Reagan's Bible here we're quoting from, that the more government raises taxes, the less revenue it generates for itself because simply it's taking money out of production.
I had the privilege, Paul, of witnessing Mr. Laffer Curve himself about 3 years ago, and I had a couple of questions, and of course it dumbfounded him, and, well, the rest, shall we say, will remain in history. It wasn't even worth bringing up. Wasn't worth going to his talk either. At any rate, we'll break. We'll be right back.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our Heart Month sale with prices from 6 years ago. Starting now until February 28th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling, to help you help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
So Nancy Pelosi says, oh, you know, forget budget cuts. We just need tax increases. Most Americans are paying well over 60% right now with all combined taxes. And I can find a way. You know, they want massive expenditure cuts, which Ron Paul brought out that has nothing to do with the security of the United States. We're in 130 different countries with 900 military bases. That's got to cost a pretty penny. Go ahead.
Go on. I was going to say, you know, the big thing that Obama's going to say tonight is we're bringing 34,000 people, troops back from Afghanistan. You know, big deal after 12 years. Meanwhile, Bin Laden is supposedly dead for 2 years. What the heck were we there for these last 2 years? And by the way, those 34,000 people that are coming back are going to have no jobs.
Well, Walmart said that they would do their utmost to hire them. But, you know, now we're going to displace retirees that can't make it on their meager Social Security and whatever. But, you know, there's some bright spots out there. Everybody happy about the higher gas prices? Peter Coy was. He said the big headlines here and elsewhere after the government reported on January 30th that the U.S. economy shrank in the fourth quarter. Well, I guess that's not good news. But he said, never mind, a little more than a week later, surprisingly good trade figures today are leading economists to predict that the government will revise its gross domestic product estimate for the last 3 months of 2012 into positive territory. The Department of Commerce said that the trade deficit shrank 21% to only about $39 billion, the smallest trade gap since January of 2010. And what's
called inflation? It's called inflation.
Well, and what's Paul, what's really fascinating about this is between 2000 and 2008, we shipped out some people have it as high as 8 million manufacturing jobs out of the country, Mexico, basically to China and to parts, I don't know, unknown to us. Now we have the supposed 11 million that need a path here to, citizenship in the United States. Down here in Texas, you have to wade through Mexicans to get to the McDonald's counter, and then you need an interpreter because the person waiting on you doesn't speak that good English. I'm looking at this, and we still are running massive trade deficits, but now they're saying, oil was the probably the main reason that the economy grew at all. But they said that the Commerce Bureau of Economic Analysis released its first estimate on a quarterly GDP just a month after the quarter ends, so it's forced to make assumptions and extrapolate to fill in for missing data. Now, they had originally said the macroeconomic advisors estimated the economy grew by 0.7%. Well, between 0.1 and 0.2%, maybe, and that's the fourth quarter GDP growth. But what's not really talked about is when Obama came into office back in 08, actually 09, January of 09, it was 71% of GDP. The debt was, now it's 102, 103%, and I think those figures are low as well. But they go into some of the silly reasons why this is a good thing that, oil prices are up. And again, most of it on what? Speculation.
Well, yeah, they're basically, if you look at the bank participation reports, which are put out by the government in the futures market, the banks are heavily, heavily involved in the manipulation of both natural gas and oil prices. They determine what the price is going to be in the futures market. When they want the price to go up, all of a sudden, the banks are buying call contracts. When they want them to go down, they manufacture put options. So the reality is you and I can't do naked calls. We can't do naked puts, but no one's stopping the banks from doing it.
Well, and here's the thing.
And can I jump in here, John?
Please do.
There's several things here. First of all, this surplus, so-called. I'm just reading an article right now. First of all, while this great surplus was going on, debt rose by $140 billion. So, of course, it's a lie. And second of all, when you look into some of the factors behind the surplus, a big one was, if you recall, when they still had the debt ceiling, Geithner did his thing like they did 2 years ago where they steal from the pension funds. That apparently gets considered surplus. So it was all statistical lies. And, of course, all you have to do is look at the debt to know there wasn't a real surplus. And then you talk about the 102% GDP with debt to GDP, which of course ignores the off-balance sheet Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which is somewhere around $4 or $5 trillion, and I won't even talk about the unfunded liabilities. And then I've heard $200 trillion. I've heard those numbers. Mm-hmm. And then of course Obama, when he got into office, there was a $10 trillion debt, which is now $16.6 trillion. And the last thing was, we're talking about oil prices again. I mean, for anyone to believe that oil prices are going up for any reason other than inflation is insane. If anyone's looking at Brent crude prices, they are literally about to break their all-time high while the entire Europe is in recession. We will see the announcements, I believe it's Thursday, that the entire Eurozone was negative GDP in the fourth quarter. Yet, Brent crude is at an all-time, it's about $2 from an all-time high, and gasoline prices both in Europe and here are at their highest ever for this time of year.
Well, the other thing that came out today was basically the Treasury report on the deficit. And they state the government deficit is definitely coming down with tax receipts. You think? I mean, January people pay their taxes and now the deficit's coming down? I mean, the way these guys play with numbers, what's unbelievable to me, well, not really, is the fact that these journalists don't even think about the things that they publish. I mean, this is going to appear in tomorrow's newspaper. It's recovery is in full swing. Government deficit is down. And they're not going to report the fact that people are paying.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
According to Mr. Closa, just love that name. Yeah, I bet he's a closer. He said financial market speculation. In addition, the rally has been driven by earlier than usual speculation that demand for oil will rise, further inflating prices. Mr. Close, in a recent Commodity Futures Trading Commission report, he said that he calculated that there is about $45 billion more the bet on higher petroleum futures than on lower ones. In other words, more traders expect oil prices to rise in the future than to fall.
Now, no, they're manipulating it.
Well,
that's
all
it is.
And here's the thing. We imported less oil last year while our exports of finished products went up. Now, they're using the excuse this February that, well, this is about the time that refineries shut down for maintenance and so on and so forth. And we all know that we haven't built a new refinery to come up to, I mean, a point in this country. You know, we never talk about overproduction because there's been no new oil refineries built to crack any product, to finish anything off since the early 70s. So, you know, and the importing, we're all depending on the foreign markets for oil. You know, I mean, where the hell, who's running this show? Because we got more oil up in Alaska and natural gas than we know what to do with. If we've got so much of it, we sell a good portion off to Japan. Natural gas, they got to pump the stuff down back into the well pockets up there using turbine engines, if you can believe that.
They're burning it off. They're burning it off in North Dakota.
Well, we're up to our eyeballs with energy, but we're still in these damn foreign markets. Some Ayatollah Khomeini or Yomama gets a burr up his saddle, and what happens? Oh, well, that's the reason. Well, crude prices may go up. I mean, this is all a flim-flam game. Just when you need the mostest for the leastest, we got a clown president that comes in 09 and says, hey, we've got to change everything in the middle of a damn depression, the worst market position we have been in and conditions in the marketplace since 1929 and into the Great Depression. You know, give me the mostest for the leastest. Forget your highfalutin cylindra and throwaway stuff. Give me the most for the least. And they're not doing it. The back in oil fields. I mean, I could go on, but we're up to our eyeballs in this stuff.
Well, and the other thing too, John, is what we need to realize is that it's part of their globalist policies to not let us become energy independent, because that takes away our interest in the Middle East.
But how does this work? What corporation is telling the government, rather than the government telling these corporations, hey, look, we got gigantic pools of oil. We don't like the security issues that we're facing with crude overseas, Middle East, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Let's go pump the stuff out of the ground that we have, because we have enough. And this is, gentlemen, this is prior to the 08 collapse. We had enough crude product at then current consumption to power this country with oil just from the oil fields in Alaska for the next two centuries.
I was an oil field service analyst for 10 years from 96 to 2005. So, yeah, it's no surprise. We've watched everything from the environmentalists preventing ANWR to, Warren Buffett's pipeline to not in my backyard with the new refineries when we need them. And now, of course, the WTI crude trading at a big discount to Brent because of, pipeline issues down in Texas and Oklahoma. For the most part, when it comes down to it, you hear so much talk about these days about how we're going to be energy independent and the fracking is going to save the world. But you know what? There's just as much evidence out there that these are high depleting, high energy cost wells that will not do the job. And the fact is, oil prices during recession are soaring right now, as are gasoline prices. I remember back when I left the oil service industry in 2005, if you could believe this, the long-term consensus oil price in 2005 was $18 a barrel. And the reason was that every analyst on earth believed that tar sands were going to save the day and swamp the price of oil. And here we are with $100 oil during a recession only 8 years later.
Well, let's not miss Gull Island up there. You know, nobody in the media ever talks about this. The wells have already been sunk. They've been capped. And these are the fields that I'm talking about, that there is such vast reserves up there that, as I said, prior to this 08 collapse, there was enough oil out of those wells on Gull Island to meet our energy and oil demands for the next 200 years. And that came straight from the boardrooms. That didn't come from some market analyst or somebody that was trading in energy futures, whether it be gas, natural gas, or crude, or whatever the case may be.
Well, if you take a look at just Utah and Nevada, the Covenant oil field, which was discovered in Utah, literally there's enough Brent crude, and we're talking high quality crude oil.
Yeah, the low sulfur stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Utah and Nevada, they could run the United States for 100 years just off of that. They basically drilled seven wells, and then they capped the field.
So here's the question. Why are we suffering under this policy of continuing to depend on offshore oil to fuel this economy? I mean, I don't know exactly how the price is set on market, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm not a big fan of fascism or any other kind of ist or ism, but my God in heaven. The Alaska pipeline went in. Well, they never did build another pipeline. They only have one there. They could multi-stack that thing. Half of the crude that we're pulling out of there, we're selling directly off to Japan. So, You know, this is not energy just for our market. This is energy for worldwide, not only in raw crude, but in finished product that should be staying right here in the United States for our own consumption. Andy, do you think we'd be looking at over $100 oil prices if we start opening up these fields and getting this crude to our own markets without selling half of it off to the foreigners?
Well, you never know, because there's so much information out there, some of it true, some of it not, but about how much oil is out there and how easy it would be to access. But the fact is that just like the bankers run the financial system, the big corporations like the oil lobby run, energy policy.
Yeah.
And as for nationalization or et cetera, I mean, that would only make things worse. I mean, look what happened to Venezuela. I remember when Chavez came in office, he fired everybody.
Yeah.
And their production never recovered to where it was.
Well,
you look at who actually owns the corporations. I mean, we're talking the same families that own the banks. You've got the Rothschilds, which are in partnership with the Rockefellers, with BP. They also own Shell Oil. British Petroleum. We could talk about the Rockefellers, which own Exxon, formerly Standard Oil. And they're still the same monopolies, the same oligarchy that runs our energy, that runs our banks.
So we're getting choked from the financial wizards, the gangster banksters with their fiat money. We're getting choked to death with our energy needs. And what's happening in this country? They're shutting down coal-fired electricity plants. We're not going to build any more nuclear plants. Oh, yeah, it's all about solar. Well, we've seen how well that's been going. And I'm not one of these people that says, look, that we got to stay with the dirty stuff, and we've been doing that for so long, we know that that works. But I'm talking about pulling away from that crude market with technology and innovation that will give us energy. I mean, what are we going to see next, gentlemen? The governments of this planet, or the world bankers claiming they own the sun, therefore everything that it emits by way of energy belongs to them?
Well, I could take it back to Utah. And what I saw, I did a few articles about what happened here in Utah, is literally they went in, and I'm talking about Bush. The Bush family came into Utah. They bought all the mineral rights in Utah, and they obviously were working for and behalf of, with the Rockefellers, and they friggin' capped it. So these people, as soon as they smell oil, they go in, they buy the rights, they make sure no one can access it, and it forces us to continue with globalization. I think one of the things that prevents the United States from protective tariffs, which I know it would be great for the economy, is the importation of oil. So literally these people do control it all.
Well, all as I know is we are in serious trouble, and it's just status quo. There's no innovation. There's no, let me see, what's the Obama administration? Forward thinking, I guess you could call it. And his grand plan was, well, to go with the green people out there, the Agenda 21 people, the carbon tax people. I mean, this has been absolutely incredible to sit and watch. During times like this, you need something that's reliable. The infrastructure is already set up. And you try to utilize that as much as you possibly can without all this so-called investment, private investment, into alternatives. And again, I didn't quite express myself succinctly, but I'm not a technophobe. If there are innovations out there to save energy and move into different areas, all fine and dandy, but you let the free market do that for you. You don't have it mandated or dictated by government. Now, some would argue against that, but hey, we got a bunch of people out there that are heavily invested, and their agendas are set by what they got their fingers in, whether it be a pull of oil or whatever.
The free market was barely operating a few years back during good times. So, where we are now, where we're literally turning into a fascist, communist, you name it. I mean, there's not a chance in hell that you're going to see anything remotely resembling free markets. And for all we know, there are hundreds of years worth of energy that will never be seen, so that a couple of rich elites can rape the rest of the country.
Well, and it makes sense. I mean, if there, we got all the stories. Oh, there's peak oil. No, then we got the stories. There's Arabic or Anabotic or whatever the term was that oil is self-replenishing, you know, kind of deal. Any rate, I mean, we have reserves. We should be using those. I mean, people right now, an average family last year, guys, spent about $3,000 or 4%, almost 5% of their income just on gasoline. I mean, I'm astounded with that. And here's worse news. You're going to see gas, it's prematurely spiked this year, but you're going to see gas go up another 50 cents a gallon, possibly up another dollar a gallon. So
it's funny, John, how these people manipulate. I brought in the fact about the bank participation in the futures market. A good example of that's natural gas, which I'm looking at right now. Right now, there's 1,029,629 naked puts against natural gas, and only 130,000 calls. This is the banks. This is the bank participation report. Half of those puts were taken up by foreign banks against our natural gas. So what they're doing is they're creating a disincentive to use natural gas as an alternative. And they're doing that by forcing the price so low that it no longer becomes economic to even produce it. And as a result, you get people like the owners of the wells in North Dakota that are simply just burning it off.
Well, and next to solar, natural gas is the cleanest energy we can burn out there. But it, as you said, it's being kept off of the markets. Tell you what, Andy, I wanted to get into with you here on the G20, G7, already in progress. But let me take this call here. I don't want to let you out of here before we talk about that. Gary in Florida. Hello, Gary.
Good afternoon. Two things. I know you got these guys on, but do you know that they got Dorner barricaded in a cabin up in the mountains in California?
Don't care.
Okay.
Maybe next hour.
Right now.
Maybe next hour.
My question is, you wanted to know why, because we got all this oil and gas and we're not using it and stuff. I just got a question, is what would happen to the petrodollar if we did become energy efficient?
It's a myth. The petrodollar is a myth, my friend. We've already got China opted out of it. We've got Russia out of it. I mean, who's still using it? Iran? I don't think so. So who's left to use it? Venezuela?
Who are we buying our oil from?
Okay, well, I'm trying to point out here that the greatest exporters in the world are no longer using it. So what do we do? We're going to lose Saudi Arabia as a trading partner? I mean, it's a myth.
It's okay. Not just about oil, too. It's about all global trade. There are many, many deals being done outside of the dollar, very, very high-profile deals, mainly with China, with the rest of the BRICS, and certainly a lot of the Middle East countries.
The dollar's on its way out, okay? All of a sudden, aren't we buying oil from people that are, like, using the dollar and are happy that we're buying their oil, that if we were not, they're not buying our debt any longer?
No. What's going on right now is, if you take a look at the actual market, Iran, for example, is selling its oil for gold. And that Iranian oil could be in your gas tank right now. You wouldn't even know it because it goes through brokers. It goes through refineries. No one knows where it comes from.
My car doesn't care if it's from Iran. It doesn't care if it's from Saudi Arabia. It doesn't care if it's from Alaska. It doesn't care.
I know. My point was the dollar. And if nothing would happen to the dollar, that's my question. Thank you.
All right. Gentlemen, any more comment on that?
It's just it's unbelievable. Just another piece of propaganda, and it's a legitimate concern because the concern is that, well, what happens to the petrodollar? You know, and of course the reality is the petrodollar now has basically been replaced in almost every market except for Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Iraq. I don't know any place else that would even have any interest in using it.
And Iraq only because we force it to happen. But again, it's not just about oil. There's the rest of the world is slowly reducing its usage of dollars. They can't do it all at once. It'll be a shock to the system. But you very well may have something happen all at once, such as if the House of Saud does in fact fall to all the minorities in the nation. It's no different than South Africa. It could happen at any time.
Which it absolutely makes no sense to me. If you want to talk about a national security issue, energy is first and foremost, and we should be using our own own reserves in this country right now. I mean, that's my argument. And when they're shutting down coal-fired plants and oil-fired plants as well, and there's technology that has come on board that they can scrub out of these coal-fired plants, they can scrub a lot of stuff out of it, including the mercury that's burned off and gets in the atmosphere. In other words, you know, we can revisit the carbon footprint at a later time, but they don't seem to want to do that, and things are being kept artificially high. And geez, Andy and Paul, wait till all this reckless spending comes home to roost and everything starts to go through the roof. How do you think this economy is going to fare? If it's flat right now, what do you think is going to happen when the cost of fuel, the cost of food, the cost of housing, the cost of everything starts going through the roof? What do you guys think is going to happen with the economy then?
Well, that's a pretty easy one. I mean, the prices have been rising. If you look at John Williams' shadow stats, he'll show you that inflation has been consistently 8 to 10% and each year for the past decade, and of course it has. I look at every bill I get in the mail goes up, from health insurance to cable to taxes to tolls. You know, we were just talking with my wife about how vegetable prices have surged, and now, like I said, gasoline at my local station is at the highest point it's ever been in February, which is certainly not the driving season. And, you know, look at all these new money printing announcements across the globe that have just happened. And during a time where you're seeing negative economic growth everywhere. So, you know,
currency wars, I might add, currency wars is how it's being sold. Right. As if it's to our benefit to deflate our currency.
The only thing I can say, Andy, is drive less and plant more vegetables.
Right.
Appreciate your call, Gary. Thank you. G7, G20. What are the wizards of the world up to, guys?
Well, the big one is the G20, which is, I believe, Friday and Saturday. I mean, the G7 is the smaller group, which is going on today. And, you know, those Keystone Cops, they put out a press release talking about the currency wars. They couldn't even get that right. The market didn't even understand it. Then they had to back out and say, no, we don't really want currency wars. But the fact is, in my 10, 11 years in the sector, I've never seen anything like what's going on. I mean, what Japan just did is suicidal. The yen is down 18% in the past 3 months. Even the Swiss National Bank is out aggressively saying that they need the currency lower. The euro, Mario Draghi, has got it coming from all sides, from nations within the eurozone that want the cheap currency. And, of course, we just announced QE3 and QE4. I mean, it's a terrible situation that's only going to get worse. I mean, this is what we've been predicting all along. And all you have to do is look to the, you know, we've had this big attack on physical gold and silver the last few weeks. I just looked up this afternoon at silver prices, silver future prices. Would you believe this? There's backwardization going at 5 years for silver prices right now. That's how tight the market is. So you're going to see a real disconnect between the paper currency world and the physical world of real stuff pretty soon, is my guess.
Well, you know, the other thing, you're talking about the currencies, is if inflating your currency away into nothing is the key to achieving global dominance, then Zimbabwe rules the world right now. Because I can buy a million Zimbabwe dollars for, what, 18 cents?
And I just read that the Zimbabwe treasury is out of money. I don't know how you can hyperinflate and be out of money, but they are.
Well, last week they had $246 in their accounts. Well, I'll tell you, gentlemen, I've got calls here, and let me get to them. Clara, you're up next. Hello.
Hi, Mr. Satin Miller. How y'all doing today?
Hi.
I was very interested in your discussion on the petrodollar. And as you pointed out, like, the petrodollar was a myth. But here's what I know about the petrodollar, that it was basically created by the Bretton Woods Agreement that all nations sell their oil in dollars and nothing else. And you stated that the petrodollar was a myth, but Mr. Dropson stated that the myth was replaced, so the petrodollar was replaced. So if the petrodollar was a myth, how do you replace a myth? This is what I'm not getting. That's what I wanted to
There's still countries that honor Bretton Woods. For example, and I left Mexico out of it. Mexico, I believe, is responsible for 18% of our imports. But when you take a look at some major exporters, and we're talking about Russia is a major exporter of oil, believe it or not. You look at Iran, which is a major exporter. You look at Kuwait. You look at these other countries. Many of them have abandoned the dollar and have abandoned Bretton Woods. They no longer honor that treaty. And the reason is because to them it doesn't make economic sense. I mean, why would you want to do business in a currency that's losing value even while the trade is still underway? It doesn't make sense to these people.
Yeah, the bigger picture is the dollar is still the world's reserve currency, but only because it's currently held as more reserves than any other currency. It's not that people want it. Right now, they're all trying to slowly divest, very carefully divest those dollars. And as Paul said, the number of transactions in dollars is going down dramatically. Now, the big pillar of the, quote, petrodollar, which really it's not a formal thing, it's kind of an implicit agreement, it really comes down to Saudi Arabia and the United States. We protect them, and they sell oil for dollars. The problem is that, like Paul said, a lot of the other OPEC countries and non-OPEC countries are no longer using the dollar, and it's only a matter of time before Saudi, which is by far the most important exporter in the world, has some kind of issue where they don't want to do it either. And when that happens, then you're really going to see a rapid, rapid hyperinflation in this country.
All right. Gentlemen, let's keep moving here. Gary in Pennsylvania. Hello, Gary. Gary, go ahead.
Oh, yes. I was listening to your conversation earlier. I'd just like to have a question. I don't know if either of you gentlemen could answer this, but right now, how many additional oil refineries would we have to have in this country to be able to process the oil that we actually have, you know, in reserve here versus what we have now? How many new refineries would have to be built to be able to move us towards energy independence?
That's a good point. But when you think about it, the refinery, I think, is kind of like a red herring, because the refinery doesn't care where it gets its oil from. So if it gets its oil from Mexico, if it gets it from the United States oil fields, it's the same to the refinery.
Or after they finish the product, they don't care where that product goes.
Exactly. Yeah. So the refinery issue is a non-issue, because obviously we're able to refine enough oil to meet our domestic needs right now. We're in the midst of a recession. Industry is slowing down. Everything else is slowing down. So demand for oil also has to be in a slowdown. So refinery output should actually
decrease.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, that's affixed to fair market, but we've got so many international ties and tendrils into our own domestic production that that's hard to figure. I mean, if we just cut off the oil spigots and the contracts to everybody we're out there doing business with, we might be able to come up with a better plan and lower prices, but that's not going to happen. All right. Gary, thanks for your call. I'll take Roger in Indiana. Hello, Roger. We got about a minute and a half.
Hey, guys.
Here.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
What I wanted to say was that, you know, we haven't forgot about Tesla, right? I mean, he had free energy for everybody. If we could just get that knowledge out there for everybody and it become free, we would kill the monopolies in the oil thing, because I really don't think we need oil.
I don't think that's going to happen. And I'll tell you what, even if you had the ability to raise Tesla from the dead, they'd probably shoot him.
I know, because I've seen inventions right now. Back in '89, Discovery Magazine, I remember the guy coming out with a patent.
Yeah.
It looked like a little alternator that you could put anywhere in the world and tilt it and rotate.
Yeah.
I mean,
Roger, I hate to do this, but we're out of time this segment. We've got to say goodbye to Andy Hoffman. And I appreciate you coming back with us and getting back in sync with us, Andy. Appreciate it very much.
Look forward to the next one.
All righty. Thanks again. We'll be continuing this discussion with Paul Drockton and myself, John Statmiller, right after this top of the hour break. Stay tuned.